This is a funny joke. I want to preface it that it's a joke. My wife is laughing at me as she goes downstairs. If you get offended, you need to get over it. All the guys, you'll really like this, Jesse. The guys, some of you hunters will like this, but anyway. The governor of California was jogging with his dog along a nature trail. A coyote jumps out, attacks the governor's dog, killing it, then bites the governor. The governor starts to intervene, but reflects upon the movie Bambi, and then realizes he should stop because the coyote is doing what is natural. He calls animal control. Animal control captures the coyote and bills the state $200 of testing it for diseases, $500 for relocating it. He calls a veterinarian. The vet collects the dead dog and bills the state $200 in testing it for diseases. The governor goes to the hospital and spends $3,500 getting checked out for diseases from the coyote and getting his bite wound bandaged. The running trail gets shut down for 6 months while Fish and Game conducts a $100,000 survey to make sure the area is now free of dangerous animals. The governor spends $50,000 in state funds implementing a coyote awareness program for residents of that area. The state legislature spends $2 million to study how to better treat rabies and how to permanently eradicate the disease throughout the world. The governor's security agent is fired for not stopping the attack. The state spends $150,000 to hire and train a new agent with additional special training on the nature of coyotes. PETA protests the coyote's relocation and files a $5 million lawsuit against the state. Texas. The governor of Texas is jogging with his dog along a nature trail. A coyote jumps out and attacks the dog. The governor shoots the coyote with his state-insured pistol and keeps jogging. The governor has spent 50 cents on his 45 caliber hollow point cartridge. The buzzards eat the dead coyote, and that is why California is broke and Texas is not. Oh, come on now, that was great. That is so funny. I read that and I thought, I'm sharing that. I know some people may get offended. How many people from California? Oh, my goodness. How many people from California? Nobody? Oh, so nobody can get offended then. And there may be a reason why you are from California and not living there, but anyway. I'm going to be smiling the whole sermon. I just think that is so funny. And it's so true. But anyway. Praise God. I'm getting set up here. I got so caught up. And if you want to follow along this morning, you go to rmfchurch.org, click on Medium, then Notes. It's not out of my system yet. Give me a second, all right? Just give me a second. Change your habits, change your life. Change your habits, change your life. So today I'm going to be talking about some very practical things to do. I mean, you know, you've heard this for years, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results, that's called insanity. You can't just keep doing, if we do exactly what we did last year, we're going to get the same results this year as we did last year. And there's a lot of people that are saying, man, I'm just believing God for this, I'm believing God for that, but you may need to do something differently. You say, well, I thought it's all about grace. It's about grace, but, you know, that's like saying, you know, you're believing God to have pretty teeth and never brush your teeth. Let me know how that works out for you. Number one, I'm going to tell you five simple things that I've started doing. All right, five simple things. Ready? Number one, make plans. Read and grow yourself. Listen to some messages. Just do this every morning, and you can do this while you're getting dressed, while you drive. I listen to when I'm driving into the office every day and when I'm leaving every day. I listen to something, and I'm listening to something about, listen to me, about faith or healing every time. Faith and healing. I just want our church to be healthy. Listen to me now. If you do these things this time next year, you will be far healthier and better off than you are this year, this past year. All right? And it's simple things. I mean, it's not like doing 100 push-ups. Proverbs 19:3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So, just in the morning, spend about 5 minutes writing down your to-do list. What gets scheduled gets done. What gets scheduled gets done. You want your garage cleaned out? Write it down. You know, there's times, you know, I wish that would get done. And you just keep on thinking or keep on walking. No, schedule it. If it gets scheduled, it gets done. Write down what you want to happen. What do you want to happen for that day, for this week, this month, this year? Goals out of sight or out of mind. Goals that are out of sight or out of mind. Have a plan to read the Word daily and listen to a message, you know, that will inspire you. Like I said, about faith and healing. I've been listening to about healing at least 3 to 4, 5 times a week at minimum. Brother Hagin said that every day of his life, he listened to something on faith and healing every single day. He was never sick for 40-something years or something, I can't remember, of his life. That's not coincidental. It's not like, well, I'm just going to hope that never happens to me. No, you got to feed yourself to where you know that sickness cannot come nigh into my dwelling. This is your dwelling, all right? So, you don't have to read for, you know, and some people go, I got to pray for an hour. I got to read for an hour. Most people will start off in about day number 3, they're done with that. Just spend a few minutes. This is what I like to do. I like to read, and then I like to get a scripture that I'm going to think about and meditate throughout the day. Throughout the day. Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power. You meditate on something like that, you memorize it without even trying. You just say it over and over throughout the day. You're driving down the road. You're at the cashier. You're pumping gas. The Lord is my strength. Whatever I put my hand to prospers. I mean, just start thinking of a scripture. You don't have to think of a whole chapter. Just take one scripture and think about it. That's all. And it will start changing the way that you think in life. And that scripture will become part of your... If you're wanting to have healing in your body, you got to do something to renew your mind. All right? Number 2. I said get up early, but you don't have to get up early. I'm an early riser. 7 days a week, I'm up between 4:30 and 6:30, probably 6 every day of my life. 7 days a week. I don't set an alarm. I just get up. I know sometimes it's aggravating. I think I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. 5 o'clock. And I'll lay in bed, frustrated. Dadgone it. I'm going to sleep. And I'll lay there, close my eyes. And about 10, 15 minutes, I go, this is such a waste. So get up, pray, and meditate. This is a statistic. 44% of successful people get up early, listen to faith messages, and do things like that. If you're retired, I'm not telling you, okay, get up early. But when you do get up, if you're retired, do this. If you change what you are saying, you will change what you are seeing. If you change what you are saying, you will change what you are seeing. So get your spouse, if you're not married, get your friend or somebody to say, I want you to help me to just take control over my tongue. Because I guarantee you, there's things coming out of your mouth you don't even realize. So you need somebody. My wife is an expert at this. That was funny and you didn't get it. But anyway... She's downstairs and she didn't get it either. But Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, In other words, the word of God, that's just what he's saying, the word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way, what? Prosperous. You will make your way. People are, man, if my boss would just give me a raise, if I could just get a good break, if I could get just this. You are in charge of your destiny, not your boss. That's good news. You are in charge. It says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How are you going to be prosperous, and how are you going to have good success? You're meditating upon the word of God. And listen, you have to train yourself, because none of us, this is going to come natural. That's why I said you get one scripture, put it on your sun visor. I used to do that, flip it down, because every time I get in my car, man, the sun visor comes down. Boom. Unless it's dark. But I would have a scripture taped on the sun visor. Have it on your refrigerator. Have it in your vehicle. Just tape it on there. Have it on your phone. Whatever it takes. Come up with a plan to think about one scripture throughout the day. But you have to do something. If you just say, okay, I'm going to do that. You won't. You won't do it. Your brain would just be wondering about something and be thinking about something, and it won't think about the word. All right. I think John Maxwell said this: people are rewarded in public for what they have done in private. You can't have a million-dollar dream with a minimum wage habit. That's one of those that just slaps you upside the head, doesn't it? You know, we're believing for a million-dollar dream, and you have minimum wage habits. And this is why I'm saying these five simple things will help become habits that will literally change your life. Simple things. Simple, simple things. If you had an axe and you had a big tree in your backyard and you wanted to cut it down, and you just one day, every day, you hit it five times, just with an axe, boom, five times. Simple, doesn't take long at all. You do that every day, 7 days, 365 days a year. I don't know how long it would take, but how many know what would happen to that tree? It's going to come down. It will come down. If you do these five things every morning, it's like swinging that axe. Eventually, all the impossibilities, all the mountains in your life are going to come down. Your life will be changed. You just think, oh man, that tree, it's going to take, it's such a big tree. How? Just take five swings. You're done. Okay, I'm done. Next morning, you take five more licks. Next day, you take five more licks. 365 days, you take that. You, after a year, you go, woo, I'm making some head wave now. You are. Amen. Number three, write down your dreams and goals. Write them down. It's a biblical thing. There's movie stars. Jim Carrey wrote down, he was failing at acting. And he wrote out a check to himself for, I forgot how many million. You remember that story, Jared? Jim Carrey, do you remember how many millions of dollars it was? For acting, he wrote himself out a check. And he went on some hill or mountain in California where he could see the Hollywood sign, and he said this out loud. He said, I don't know how many days of his life that I'm going to be paid this much for an acting job, a movie that I'm going to be in. I don't know how long it took, but that day came, and he got paid millions of dollars, and he's still getting paid millions of dollars today. He couldn't even get a job, he said. I said this last Sunday at the brunch at church. How many enjoyed that, by the way? You think we ought to do something like that again? What? You need to say it loud enough that Melody can hear you downstairs. Y'all think we ought to do something like this again? Thank you, Jesus. There was a professor, I said this last Sunday, but if you weren't here, a professor at Virginia Tech who asked the students and people throughout the college, what are your goals for life? 80% said they didn't have any goals. 80%. I can vouch for that. When I was in high school, I didn't have any goals. I just wanted, my goal was to graduate and get out of school and never, ever return. 80% said they didn't have any goals. 16% said they had some goals, but I've never written them down. So that's up to 96% now. 3% said I've written them down, but I don't know where they are and I never think about them. So that's 99%. 1% said I've written them down and I go over them regularly and they are part of my everyday life. They did a study on these people. The 1%, when they came back, every single one of the 1% were millionaires. The Bible, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, says this: Then the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. So God's really big into writing your vision down, writing things down. Goals, visions, what do you want for your life? What do you want for your life? When the vision is clear, the results will appear. Wow, that's really good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and I know why. He had a church. Number four, successful people are grateful. I know this, but I haven't done this, but I started January 1st this year. Successful people are grateful. Be thankful. I think Joyce Meyer said this, complain and you will remain. If you complain, you will remain. Nothing will delay your dreams or goals more than complaining. This is a tough one. Because is it easy or what to complain? I mean, the weather, the cold, the heat, the politics. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The political system. And then if you get around people who think like-minded like you, and if you mention that, it's a nuclear bomb goes off of how terrible the United States is. And our school system and the traffic. Can you believe it? Pueblo's getting traffic now. I mean, wow. I mean, I used to go to Springs in Denver, and then I come back to Pueblo, and people go, man, the traffic's bad. This was like 10 or 15 years ago. The traffic is so bad in Pueblo. I look at them and go, you don't know what traffic is. This thing is really lousy. No, I'm just kidding. That was a illustrative sermon. Am I good? All right. So I'm going to make a challenge for you that's going to be super hard. And you're going to need help with your spouse, with your friends. God Almighty is going to have to help you. No complaining for 30 days. And you're obviously, and I'm obviously going to fall off the wagon on this. So you just have to get back up on the horse. But no complaining about political things, about the weather, about the cooking, about the traffic. Some of you will not be able to talk for 30 days. Just kidding. Probably not. But anyway, you can't complain about anything. My clothes are too tight. I've gained weight. I'm this, I'm that. You're this and you're that. Children don't clean up after themselves. No complaining about your kids. Jesus help us all. Anyway, no complaining. How many will try that for 30 days? Let me see your hand. I did say, but how many will try? Come on, how many will try it? Be committed. Show that, God's looking, so we just want to make sure that God's looking at all of your hearts. No complaining for 30 days. None. I hope some of you can get out of the parking lot. No complaining about the preaching. Oh, that's a good one. I should have said that first. No complaining if I go a little 5 minutes extra, 10 minutes. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. A grateful heart is a magnet for the miracle working power of God to be attracted to you. A grateful heart. Being grateful. Psalms 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his holy name. Some of you are just thinking probably, I knew I should have stayed home. This is why we don't talk too much about what's going to be said next week. So in the morning, just have a quiet time. Again, you're going to spend a few minutes in the morning and write down what you're grateful about, what you're thankful for. I started this. I get into spreadsheets and stuff, and so I made this calendar, and every day it's already on there, so I just go to the day and I type in what I'm grateful for that day. You know? And you don't do the same thing. Grateful for my family and my kids. Next day. Grateful for my family and kids. Next day. Grateful for... No. Find something truly that you're grateful for. And then put that down. And then expand your vision. Don't just say the same thing 3 or 4 times during the week. If you're grateful for your kids, that's great. You don't have to say that 300 days out of your calendar. You said it, okay? You're thankful for your job? Put it, type it down or write it down, what you are grateful for. Listen to this. It helps you to focus on what God is doing in your life instead of what's not happening. What's not happening. Our furnace went out Wednesday. It was the coldest day, but I corrected myself. I was getting ready to go down that road. So the next morning I went, I am so thankful for electric heaters that I can stay warm. Anyway, you just got to look at what the good thing is. It's easy to say, stupid heater. Did you know that thing lasted 30 years, that furnace did? 30 years. And then I was started being grateful. And listen, let me just tell you this. But he said this. He says, Mike, ours is 80% efficiency. If you don't know what that is, that's the older model. They have a 90% efficiency, which is very, very good. And then they have the best is 96% efficiency. In other words, it burns 90% of the gas that comes in there instead of spitting out 20% through the flue. So it's super efficient. Psychologists, not spirit-filled Christian psychologists, regular psychologists did research on being grateful and thankful and found out people, listen to this, everybody, people who are grateful and thankful sleep better, have fewer illnesses, are happier, and have less anxiety and depression just from being thankful and grateful. Gratitude in the Bible means extended favor towards or giving grace and kindness as a response. You need to be grateful for the people around you. Be merciful for those around you. You reap what you sow. If you're grumpy at everybody that comes along, you're probably reaping a crop of grumpiness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's literally tons of scriptures about being thankful. There's a reason. God knows. It's for your best interest to be thankful. Number 5, make positive declarations. So I do this every morning. I wrote them on my phone so I can just walk around in our house while everybody's sleeping. I'll walk and just say these out loud to God and to me. I say, God, I'm talking to you, and this is how I am, what I'm declaring to you, God. And so I do that. Proverbs 18:21. Why? Because our words are carriers. This is the word of God. Your words are carriers of life and death. If you don't believe it, that's fine. It's still the truth. It's still true. Your words carry life and death. Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, you're going to become what you behold. So you need to start beholding something different, and you can do that by changing the way that you talk about yourself. You know, you hear ladies and men just say, well, I can never lose weight. How's that working for you? I can never get in shape. I'll lose 10 pounds and gain 15. You need to change what you're saying. You know, well, you know, in your 60s and 70s, you just start not thinking right. The Bible says Moses was 120 and his eyes never grew dim. He had 20/20 vision. So I just thought, you know what? He did that under the old covenant. I'm going to start speaking to my eyeballs. You're going to, eyes, you start restoring because you're going to see 20/20. Your 20/20 eyes. All right. So, I'm just going to read some things that I say every morning. You don't have to say these, but just gives you some idea. I say, I'm courageous. I'm qualified. I'm witty and funny. All right. I'm confident. I'm sensitive to God's voice. I walk even as He walked. The works that Jesus did, I do also because I believe in Him and greater works than these. John 14:12. I can say that because that's what the Word says. As He is, so am I in this world. That's not right. 1 John 4:17. Jesus said, as I am in heaven now, so are you. So as He is, so am I in Pueblo, Colorado. I see miracles and people are being healed. I attract, you're going to like this. I attract God-inspired ideas that produce millions of dollars. That's enough to turn your crank. I speak at conferences around the world. You probably don't want to say that, but you may. I don't know. I'm an expert in the message that God has given me to share. My gift is making room for me and bringing me before great men. I am highly favored by God and men. I am filled with the love of God, and I walk in His love every day. So, those are just a few. Listen, if you want to know where your life is heading, listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth, because that's where you're going. You can't sit there and go, well, I just believe I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm the healed of the Lord. And somebody goes, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just so terrible. It's just so bad and everything. You just wiped out everything that you confessed. What's coming out of your mouth? Oh, you know what? I've been battling this, but I tell you what, I'm standing on by the stripes of Jesus. I'm the healed of the Lord. My body is a temple of God. I'm strong. I tell you what, sickness is illegal on me. It can't stay on me. So that's how I feel. You got to slap the devil upside the head. You got to speak what you want. Amen. So, what you do in your private time matters. So, spend just a few minutes every day. Listen to me. I'm telling you, church, if we do this every day, this time next year, we will all be changed. We will be changed. If we're wanting to see healing, if you want to see your body better, man, don't wait till you're sick and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I've been saying it every day. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. What am I doing? I'm making my body Teflon when sickness comes on me. Matter of fact, that's one of my confessions. Germs, sickness, and disease, and viruses of all kinds die when they come in contact with my body. I say that every day. I say my body is a temple of God, therefore it's illegal for sickness and disease to come on me. It's illegal for it. So I say it. If you say that 365 days out of the year, if you said that 100 days out of the year, you're going to be better off. Amen.